great to be here this morning. learned very quickly a little something about your church that if you're not with me in the message, all I have to do is start talking about food and I'll get a lot of amens and all. I've really noticed that this morning. Amen. That's great. Baptists like to eat. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning and thank the Lord for His blessings. I appreciate the privilege of being here and thank the Lord for the opportunity to come. We scheduled this meeting months ago and thank the Lord that we are here. I've been praying that God would bless and God would speak to hearts. Being here on Missions Commitment Sunday is a real privilege. I thank the Lord for that. And missions is a wonderful thing, and I'm encouraged in your church by seeing all of the letters and everything out there in the lobby about the missionaries that you support, and preacher talking about it today, and that's just a tremendous thing. Let me just say about my table. I mentioned this in Sunday school that we have our prayer card out there, and I would encourage you to stop by the table and pick one of those up if you haven't gotten one already, and please pray for us. It does say on the card, Dr. Phil. Okay? I hope you know which one I am, all right? I'm the one with hair, okay? And there's a picture of my wife on there, too. My wife is Canadian from Nova Scotia, and right now she is in Tennessee. My daughter is about 7 months pregnant, and she's getting things ready and helping my daughter. Actually, my daughter and her husband are moving right during the middle of this, so my wife is helping with that. And, you ladies understand, doing the grandma thing, you know what I mean? And they already have one son, and his first name is Clayton. I have another grandson. His first name is Clayton. You just can't get any better than that. Amen? That's true. And they're both of the boys, their mothers are twins. I could go on and on about this. It's crazy. But anyhow, that's the way it is. Amen. But the grandson she's with, we call him by his middle name, is Mason. But we thank the Lord for that. I wish she was here today. She planned to be here. But that came up, and so she is there. But please pick up a prayer card. Remember us. Our ministry is in global church planting. And God has opened this up to us full-time a couple of years ago. Although, like I said in Sunday school, I was raised, my dad, an evangelist, and out of the Cleveland Baptist Church in Cleveland, Ohio, traveled for many years. And we would travel as a family during the summers. When we got out of school, we would go with my dad and travel with my dad. And as a little child growing up, we would go into churches and sometimes we'd go to places that didn't have a church and help get a church started. And so I grew up in that all through my teenage years. And we began to travel full time when I was about 15 years old with my dad and finished our schooling on the road there. And just thank the Lord for that being raised in church planting. And not only here in the United States, but also in other countries around the world. And we just thank the Lord for that. I was sharing with Pastor earlier this morning. I pastored in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada for 15 years. During that 15 years, we saw some wonderful things happen in the area of church planting. When I first went to Canada in the early 80s to go to Bible college, in the province of Ontario, there were less than 20 independent Baptist churches. When I went back there to pastor in 1995, and then I was there for 15 years, during that time, all of the independent Baptist churches that were there really worked together in unity at planting new churches. And now, in the province of Ontario, there are nearly 100 independent Baptist churches. And so our program worked. We worked with Brother Jessup. I don't know if you've heard of him before. And his philosophy was the same as my dad's, and we just put that all together and worked hard, and God did some great things. Now, our church planting ministry, somebody asked me, well, how do you go about this? Here's what I say. If you go to the book of Acts and you read about what the Apostle Paul did, that's exactly what I want to do. The Apostle Paul went into some places and he stayed a short time. Other places he stayed a longer time, just as God led and the need that was there in getting churches planted. And so I have seen that already in this ministry. I'm still raising support to be able to do this full time, but we have a church plant that we helped this past year in Strasburg, Ohio. That man has never pastored before and has worked in a church but never pastored. And so he needed a little bit more of my time and my help there, and we're still helping him. There's another church plant we helped earlier in the year in Arkansas. That man has been a pastor, has started a church before, and so he really didn't need me to stay a long time with him. But we were able to go in there and help and encourage him and get things going. And I'm glad to say that church, he started actually a year ago, and he's already averaging 40 in attendance. And already supporting missionaries. And so I'm excited about that. Praise the Lord for that. We're planning to go back there this summer and take a group of people there and put on a big vacation Bible school for them and just really, excuse me, help get the news out into the area. And so a lot of things. One of the things I'm planning is to go in January to the Philippines. I was there this past January. God did some amazing things while we were there, and we preached and actually preached in a new church plant that only, it was its seventh service when I was there and preached, and we had an 89-year-old lady come to Christ in that service. It was just tremendous. But during that time, we had nearly 1,000 people saved where we preached and different places. We're planning on going back there in January and helping teach church planting in a Bible college, and then to go out and take some of those students out and plant a new church in an area of suburb of Manila, which is over 500,000 people. And so pray for us, and if you can help us to go, that would be great. We just thank the Lord for the privilege of serving Him and what God has done. So please pray about these projects. I mentioned about Youngstown in Sunday school, and we've got other projects coming our way, and there's just a lot of work to be done. Just to be honest with you, just a lot of work to be done. And we want to be involved and do the best that we can with this. I'd like for you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 9. The book of Matthew chapter 9. And here are some very familiar verses of Scripture. verses that when we think of missions, we think of giving to missions, and we think of what missions is all about. I like to go to these verses of Scripture in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 35 through 38. The Bible tells us here in these verses, Matthew chapter 9 verse 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I've entitled this message this morning, God's Program for Missions. God's Program for Missions. I really believe that God is an organized God. Amen? The Bible says he's not the author of confusion. And God likes to set things in order. I remember a little tract that was very popular years ago that almost every church that we went to had this little tract. It was called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. Have you ever seen that tract? I think most of us have. God's Simple Plan. And when we think about salvation, God has a plan. He has a plan to get the gospel to the whole world and make it very simple for people to be saved. I'm glad salvation is simple. Amen? I mean, if it was complicated, if it was a series of tests you had to take, I never was good at taking tests. In fact, I couldn't believe it, but I was a principal of a Christian school at one time. And I never was very good in school. And so I understood what it is to take a test. I'm glad salvation is not taking a test that you come up here and we say, if you fill these questions out right, then you can get saved. I'm glad it's not that. Amen. I mean, the test is this. Are you a sinner? Amen. And I think we can all answer that. Amen. Even a little child can understand that. I'm glad that salvation is simple. But here's God's program for missions. God has a plan in this. Somebody made this statement. I make it also. I want you to think about it this morning. This statement is this. Missions is only for missionaries. I made that statement in church and I saw a guy sitting there going, but the answer is, you see, everyone that's saved is a missionary. And so missions is only for missionaries. It is our job, it is our responsibility to give the gospel to the world. Every Christian should be a missionary. Dr. Oswald J. Smith, a preacher of years gone by, said this, and his church was a very mission-minded church. He said, the church which is not a missionary church will be a missing church when Jesus comes. If you're not involved in the mission that God has given us to do, the Great Commission, by the way, it's found there on your faith promise card there, right there, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, we ought to be involved in that. We ought to be part of that program. Here in these verses of Scripture, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was ministering around the area of Galilee. It was the northern part of Israel where Jesus did a lot of His ministry, a lot of His miracles we find in that area. But in verse 35, the Bible talks about how busy Jesus was in what He was doing, in His ministry. The Bible says in verse 35, He went about all the cities and villages teaching, and then He was preaching, and He was also healing. Jesus was busy. And about the ministry, and I think God's people ought to be busy. Ought to be busy in the work of God. And we ought to find a place. You say, well, I just don't have anything to do. Well, let me give you something right now. You just come and talk to the pastor. I'm sure the pastor has plenty he could give for you to do. Amen? I know, because I pastored for over 20 years. I know that. There is plenty of work to do. There's plenty that needs to be done. And so the Lord was busy here in verse number 35, but it seems to me as if we come to verse 36, and it's like there's a little bit of a pause here. It's like when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. It's like there's a little bit of a pause here amongst this busy schedule. Let me tell you something. It's good for all of us once in a while to take a pause. Amen. To stop for a minute. I think that's why it's so important to be in the house of God, to be in church, and have your cell phones off. Amen? Amen. Take a pause for a minute. Amen? Amen. I mean, I leave my cell phone out in the vehicle. I don't even bring it in. Amen. Right? This is more important than anything that anybody's got to tell me. This is more important. Amen. And it's good for us to pause once in a while, to take a pause and really look around and stop for a moment. And really, you know, that's what we do on Sunday morning when we come here and we sit down for a moment and we take a pause and we think about the things of God and we come together to worship our God. That's what we ought to be doing. And so Jesus here takes a little bit of a pause. And I want you to notice in verse 35, we see first of all here the plan. The plan was to go everywhere. To give the gospel to every person. That's our job. That's our responsibility. I was going to have you turn to the verse, but it's right there on your faith promise commitment card is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And it says this, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. We're to be witness for Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says, both in Jerusalem in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Notice he uses the word both. You know, the words of the Bible are important. and says, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. How can I be a witness for Christ both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth all at one time? How is this even possible? Well, I want you to notice something about that. Notice, first of all, it says there, Jerusalem, your Jerusalem is right here in Oak Harbor. This is your Jerusalem. You know where your number one responsibility is? Right here. You know what a lot of Christians do? A lot of Christians have this attitude. Well, I'll take this, and I'll give so much, and I'll tear this off, and I'll give so much so that the gospel can go around the world, and that's all I need to do. No, that's not. No, you need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You need to be faithful to the house of God, and then you need to be faithful at taking the tracts out of the track rack back there and giving them out to people. This church did not get those tracts to put in the track rack to leave them there. Amen? They ought to be distributed out. Pastor ought to be saying, oh, look at our track rack. It's almost out. I've got to order some more and get that thing filled up again. Why? Because people are taking them out and handing them out. Listen, everywhere you go, you ought to be witnessing for Jesus Christ. At least giving a track out. Talking to people. It's no accident the people you come in contact with day after day after day. It's not an accident. God has a plan in it all. And that's what Jesus, He went about all these cities and villages. Don't miss the opportunities that come your way. The Bible says Jesus went about doing these things and preaching to the people, and we ought to follow. We are to be Christ-like and do what Jesus has given us example to do. Not only go everywhere, but go all the time. Do you know there's no vacation from being a Christian? No vacation from being a Christian. You can take a vacation from your job, from your work, or something like that, but there's no time where you cease being a child of God. And so the responsibility is all the time, everywhere you go. I keep tracks in my van. I travel all the time. I can't remember, 2 weeks ago, I was in North Bergen, New Jersey, right there by Manhattan, preaching, right at New York City area there, preaching. And then last Sunday, I was at my brother's church in Salina, Ohio, and then I'm here this Sunday, next Sunday. Where am I going to be? Pennsylvania, that's right. I'm in Pennsylvania next Sunday. The following Sunday, I will be in Charlotte, North Carolina. You see, the snow is coming. I'm moving. Amen. My dad always said, if the goose has enough sense, I've got enough sense. Amen. Amen. And then I'll be in Florida. Amen. Praise the Lord. Alabama, Florida, and those areas. Preaching and stirring up churches about church planting. And that's what we need to do. Go all the time. When we drive around, go to place and pull up somewhere and to get something to eat or a drink or something. I keep track there to hand them out. You see, that's the plan. But notice, I want you to notice secondly, the pulse. The pulse or the heartbeat is in verse number 36. When Jesus takes this pause for a minute, it says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Notice there. The pulse. He saw, first of all, He saw the multitudes. What do you think Jesus saw when He saw these multitudes? I'll be honest with you. When I stand up here and I look at a crowd of people, I just see, I don't know who's visiting here. I don't know who are members here. I don't know who comes all the time or who comes, you know, every once in a while. I don't know, because I just see your body sitting there in the pew. But when Jesus looks at you, He sees more than what I see. Because He looks right down into your heart and into your soul. And He knows what makes you tick. He knows what you're all about. And when Jesus saw this multitude, He saw, first of all, their lost condition. He saw the condition they were in. Sometimes I wish I could stand up here when I preach and the Holy Spirit of God would let me see who's saved and who's not. But I can't do that. It's impossible for me. But let me tell you something. God knows. Amen? God knows. He knows your heart. The Holy Spirit of God will deal with you accordingly when the preacher preaches the Word of God. He saw them. You know, when then it says He was moved. He saw and then He was moved. Listen, are our hearts moved by what we see? Yeah, our hearts are moved by what we see. That's why you see sometimes on television they put up, you know, help support the hungry around different countries, and they put up pictures of people and children. They put up pictures of children. Why? Because that affects your heart. I remember some years ago, I was an assistant pastor at one time in Xenia, Ohio, and I was there at a service, and I remember a missionary came in, a missionary to Mexico City. And I remember that preacher talking about Mexico City and showing the pictures about Mexico City, the population, and how many churches were there, and the great need. And I'm telling you, my heart broke for that place. I actually sat there in that pew and I said, Lord, if you want me to go to Mexico City, you just show me, I'll go. I'll go. Listen, that ought to be the desire of our hearts. When we see the need, and Jesus saw them as their lost condition, like sheep, He says, sheep without a shepherd. They were groping for something. They didn't know where to turn. He saw their spiritual hunger. Let me ask you this morning, are you hungry today? I'm not talking about, hey, preach about food and everybody gets happy. I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about spiritual food. Some of you may have come to church today very hungry. You don't know where you're going to spend eternity. You don't know what is going to happen to you when you die. But let me tell you something. Jesus died to give you a home in heaven. He died to give you eternal life. And if you've come today spiritually hungry, He can meet that need. Like nobody else. Nobody else can meet that need. This world cannot meet that need. This world will fail you. Your own flesh will fail you. But Jesus never fails. Amen? He never fails. He will meet that need. He'll give you that satisfying that you need in your heart today if you'll just come and be saved and trust Him as Savior. Forgive you of all your sins. I'm telling you, folks, there's no better deal than that. Don't walk out of this place without Jesus. Just don't do it, okay? Trust Him. Be saved today. He saw their spiritual hunger. He saw them that they were helpless and they were hopeless. Listen, without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. There is no hope. But listen, you can find your hope in Him. He'll save you. He'll deliver you. But notice about Jesus, He not only when He saw, but He was moved. He saw this multitude. He was moved with compassion on them. I like that point. I like to know that when the Lord Jesus looks down at this crowd of people and He sees the need here this morning, that His heart is moved. Can you realize this? You can move the heart of Jesus today. His heart was moved. I'm glad I have a Savior whose heart is moved to me. Amen. To all of us. Because He loves us. His heart was moved. Let me ask you something. Is your heart broken? When you look at the need of our country, you know that the fourth most unreached country of the world is the United States of America. That is sobering and staggering. I know you live out here and you look around here and you say, well, how could that possibly be? Will you go with me to downtown New York City, where I have been many times in my life? And you go to downtown Los Angeles. You go to downtown Miami. And you go to these big cities like Chicago, and you will see needy people that need the gospel, need to be saved. Can we see the need around us? You know, He said this in Acts 1:8. He said, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. Our response stability is in Jerusalem, but then in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, one of the mistakes that many churches make is they understand the responsibility of their Jerusalem, and they understand the responsibility of the uttermost part of the earth, but they forget about Judea and Samaria. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't put your attention, first of all, on your Jerusalem, there's not going to be a church left here to support any missions and reach this community with Christ. You've got to, number one, you've got to, but what about our own country? You know what I find as I travel around? I find so many churches that they're so concerned about their own Jerusalem, and then they're concerned about the uttermost part of the earth, but they forget about our own country and reaching our own country. I think we need to put some focus and attention there when we look around us and see the problem that we're facing and the need that we have. I'm going to tell you what's going to turn America around is starting more Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches in this country. Do you know that last year more than 4,000 churches closed in America? Isn't that incredible? When our people need the Lord more than ever, and yet they're turning away from God. God help us. Boy, I could preach a long time on that. We are a needy people. Here were these people. They were feigning. They were scattered abroad. Here's what somebody said about this verse of Scripture. A sad and pitiful state the crowds were in, rent or mangled as if by wild beasts. They were harassed and bewildered by those who should have taught them, hindered from entering the kingdom of heaven, laden with the burdens which the Pharisees laid upon them. The masses were in a state of mental dejection. I think that's a description of America today. That's where we are. Sad and pitiful state. Dr. Spurgeon, a preacher of years gone by, said they fainted for want of comfort. They were scattered abroad for lack of guidance. Wow. Jesus saw them, the sheep without a shepherd. I want you to notice thirdly this morning, verse 37, the plight. The plight. We have seen the plan, the pulse, and then the plight. The plight is verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous. That's not the plight. There's more than 7 billion people in our world. But the laborers are few. That's the plight. That's the problem. Where are the laborers? Where are the people that are going to do the work? Where are the young men to go out and plant new churches? My job is to go and to go help them get established a good foundation, get a good start to the church, and then I go help someone else. Do you realize we have places all over America where churches are needed, but we can't find people to go? Bluefield, West Virginia is one. There's a county in Alabama. The state of Alabama has 13 counties without an independent Baptist church. That's in the Bible Belt, friends. We have a county where a church wants to start a church, but I can't find anybody. I've been looking for over a year now. I can't find anybody that will go. Why? Because the laborers are few. We were looking at North Dakota, and out in the oil fields of North Dakota, you can't believe how much that place is expanding and growing. The little town we went to before the oil boom was a town of 1,700 people. When we got there, the oil boom had been going for 2 years. It had already grown by 10,000 and is supposed to grow by another 30,000 people. Incredible. Thank God we finally got a man to go there, and he is from North Dakota, so he knows what it's like to live there. He's gone out there and started a church. Praise God for that. But we need other towns are expanding and growing because of the drilling that's going around. In that one county alone, they're putting 8,000 wells. Isn't that incredible? I just couldn't believe it. The need is great. Where are the laborers? I grew up in the Cleveland Baptist Church, and as a teenage boy, I can remember being there at mission conference time. And I can remember preachers up preaching and give the invitation. And I can remember seeing teenagers and young people walk down the aisle and surrender and say, "Here, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go." I remember one service, there was, I think, about 15 or 20 young people that surrendered to go. Where is that today? Do you think God is calling any less? I think the problem, the plight here is the laborers are few. People aren't listening to God and willing to go. God help us. God help us. Lastly, I want you to look at verse 38 at the provision. He says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." What does He say to do? He says, number one, to pray. Oh, how we need prayer warriors today. If you say to me, "Preacher, I'd love to go, but I'm not physically able. I'm not at the place. I can't." Well, then pray. Amen. You can pray. I remember when I pastored in Canada, I had an older lady in our church, and her husband used to go with me on visitation, and then he passed away. And she would come up to me and she said, "Preacher, when I was younger, I used to go out and hand out tracts, and I just can't anymore. I just can't do it." And she was just so perplexed over that. And I said to her, "Katie, here's one thing you can do. At 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, we meet here at the church. There's sometimes 15 or 20 of us that meet here at the church. We have prayer together, and then we go out on visitation until about noon. And what I want you to do from 10 o'clock on Saturday morning to noon, I want you to pray for those that go. That's going to be your ministry. You be a prayer warrior. And whenever I give the devotion and we get ready to go out, I can know in the back of my mind, Katie is praying." Amen? Hey, listen, we need to pray. Sometimes the answer is the one that's praying. "Oh, I'm praying for more laborers." Maybe God is calling you to go. Pray. And listen, if you're already involved and you're already going, then pray for somebody that you can train to go. Take somebody with you and train them how to be a soul winner, how to talk to people, how to present the gospel. And you know, folks, it's very simple. It's simply this. You tell somebody what happened to you. Amen. That's what a testimony is. And your testimony is unique to you. Not like anybody else can give. I grew up in a preacher's home. I mean, I went to church all my life from the time I was a little baby. I mean, I wanted to be in church so bad I was born on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Amen. You know, and just was in church all my life. But you know, one day I realized, just because I was raised in a preacher's home, and just because I went to church all my life didn't mean I was saved. And I came to Christ and trusted Him and got saved. And I thank God for that. But, you know, my testimony, I used to think years later that my testimony is not like some that I'd heard that, you know, they got into trespasses and sin and they lived a wicked life and they were on drugs and they were this and they were that and in gangs and all of this. And then they got saved and wow, what a testimony. That was great. And I thought, I don't have a testimony like that. I mean, when I was a teenager, I thought, well, maybe I'll go out and start taking drugs. No. Do you know, one time I got up to preach. The Lord just laid on my heart to give my own testimony. So I gave it in the sermon, raised in a preacher's home, heard preaching all my life. It was nothing new to me. But I realized I wasn't saved, and I got saved. And I told that testimony, and after that service, a young man came to me, and he said, "Your testimony was for me." He said, "You see, I was raised in a preacher's home." He said, "I realized it wasn't my dad or whatever that took me to heaven. I've got to get saved myself." Amen? Hey, your testimony can help somebody. Share it with somebody. We are commanded not only to pray, but also to go and spread the gospel to every creature, and also to give so that others can go. Be a giver. I like the testimony that preacher shared this morning, and let me just say quickly, I'll kind of try to condense it. Time's getting away from us, but I had a man in my church in Ontario, and he got involved in this Faith Promise Mission giving, and after he got involved, he lost his job. Then he was a mechanic, and he tried to get another job, and he was working there a little while and lost that job because they wanted him to cheat and lie and all of that kind of thing. And I said to him, I said, why don't you just start your own? Well, he said, this guy was pretty close to 60 years old. I just don't know if I could. And I said, you know, just give it a try. I encouraged him in that. So he rented a little place and started on his own. And everybody that knew him came to him because they knew he was honest and wouldn't cheat people. Amen. And you know that he never had to put out any advertising. He was telling me, well, I'm going to have to get some flyers and go out and blow. He never had to. You know why? Because everybody sang his praises, I'm telling you. And he got so much work. About a year and a half later, he came to me and he said, Pastor, I'm going to give more in Faith Promise. Since I started giving Faith Promise, I lost my job. He said, now I'm making more money than I've ever made in my entire life. God blessed him because he was a giver. Let God do it for you. Amen. God wants to. The question is, are you involved? Are you involved in Faith Promise Mission giving? Are you involved in going yourself and sharing the gospel with somebody else? Are you involved? You know, it's a great thing to be involved. To be a part of the team. A church is like a family, but it's also like a team. We want to work together as a team. For the team to get accomplished, it takes all of us, doesn't it? Doing what we can do. I mean, just last Sunday, I had scheduled to be in New York at a church. And a couple weeks before the meeting, the pastor called me up and said, I'm going to have to cancel. I was disappointed. That's never good in my situation because you can't schedule anybody else with a two-week notice. I mean, it's just... So I just went to my brother's church. They have an attendance campaign thing going on. And they're the Ohio State Buckeyes, and they're against the church in Michigan, which is the Wolverines. And so that's what they're doing at my brother's church. Ohio State Buckeyes against Michigan, you know, and they're playing that up and having a good time with it. And so it was fun to be there. Plus, I wanted to support the Buckeyes. Okay, anyhow, so I went to my brother's church last Sunday, and they had a great attendance. They had a lot of visitors there that Sunday. Everybody had worked hard, and I was sitting back in about the third row on this side, and there were even visitors on the front row. I mean, it was just packed. And they had a special day and everything, and they gave the invitation. And the preacher talked about those that are lost, not saved. Would you raise your hand? I noticed on the front row on the side there's a man. He didn't put his hand up very far, but he put it up there. And I noticed that. The invitation came, and everybody stood up, and he started giving the invitation. And I noticed that man, he had some stuff in his hands, and he just set it down on his chair, and I thought, he's going to go forward. And the plea was given, you know, come to Christ, you know. He sat down, and then he just stood there. And I thought, you know, that guy is just about ready to go. And I just stepped out of my seat, and I walked up to him, and I said, don't you want to get saved today? He says, yes, I do. It's like, wow, somebody finally said something to me, you know. And I said, come on, let's go. And Dustin trusted Christ as Savior that day. I mean, just a simple little help, little bit. Listen, get involved. There are people that are needy out there. So much we need to be involved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, my friend, you become a witness for Christ, there will be those that will turn you down. They're really not turning you down. They're turning down the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just our job to go and tell them. We can't make them be saved. Sometimes I wish I could make somebody be saved. Sometimes I wish I could get saved for somebody. I have a cousin. I wish I could just get saved this morning and go to my cousin, go to her and say, whether you like it or not, I got saved for you. But you know what? I can't do that. That's not God's plan. That's not His program. I wish she could understand what it is to live for Christ and be born again and be saved. It's the greatest life in the world. Maybe you're here today without Jesus. I can tell you this morning with confidence. He wants to save you today. If you'll just come by faith and trust Him. Be born again. He wants to save you. Let me just ask you very quickly this morning. How many here this morning would say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I have been born again. I know that." Could you raise your hand as a testimony to that this morning? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. You may put them down. Maybe somebody here today would say by an uplifted hand, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm just not sure I'm going to heaven." And you'd say by an uplifted hand, "Preacher, pray for me today." Is there one like that today? "I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me." Just slip that hand up and let me pray for you this morning. Jesus loves you. I love you. I want to pray for you. Is there someone like that today? How many Christians here this morning would say, "Preacher, God spoke to my heart today. I know that I need to be more involved in witnessing, in giving, in praying. God has spoken to my heart. Pray for me today, preacher." Would you slip up that hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many hands. Many hands. God bless you this morning. Let's stand to our feet as we go to the Lord in prayer. Everyone standing. Everyone standing. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You bless this invitation. God, I pray that You would speak to hearts today. I pray, dear Lord, if there's someone here that needs to just step out by faith and surrender to You, that they would do that this morning. God, work in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit have His way now. We pray in Jesus' name.